Hello and welcome back. This is Session 6, Part 1 to our Deadlands Noir, The Dark Heart of the City campaign. The players were Nick, Jameis, Sharon, and Chris. This is a particularly poor recording as I've had to use a backup microphone for the evening. In addition, I've done minimal audio editing, so enjoy? Okay, welcome back to Deadlands Noir, The Dark Heart of the City. This is Session 6 tonight, and tonight we have the character of Anise Villain, as played by...
This is Jameis, playing Anise Villain. She's a young girl out in the city on her own, and she's drawing the attention of all the creeps in the city, it seems. And she has a cat, so that's good.
And Samuel Figgs, as played by...
I am Chris, and I'm playing Samuel Figgs, the do-gooder police officer.
And Franny. What's Franny's last name again?
Lewis. Franny Lewis.
That was played by.
Okay, this is Sharon. I'm playing Franny Lewis, lounge singer. I'm very, very good at what I do. And unfortunately, I have some strange people trying to follow me.
And last but certainly not least, at least one of his names, is Jack Vance, as played by.
Indeed. Hello, my name is Logo Strange People, who I will perhaps one day play with. I am also known as Nick. I am playing Jack Vance, a.k.a. more names than I can keep track of because I kind of forget them as I throw them out there. And he is definitely not on a mission to burn alive the people who burned his parents alive. That's not what he's doing.
Never. Never, never. All right, so for extra chips, if anyone can give me a taste of a little bit of what happened last episode, we'll go back to front. So, Mr. Jack Vance, what does Jack remember of what happened yesterday? Monday, the 15th of September, 1935. And for the folks listening, unfortunately, I was not able to get together news loadings for this day in time, so we are foregoing that this episode. Jack, take off.
So we started out at the dockside. We were trying to find the ship of our mysterious man in purple who has betrayed his master organization of the Mafia. We got to the docks to find that his ship has fled. By several discussions, we found out there was some kind of fracas at the ship, and we went to go pursue it. We also managed to get some information about the man as he had left his car at the scene where there was the fracas, and then we proceeded over to the police station where we had a meeting with the Mafia member who had been arrested. He proceeded to tell us that our man in purple threw him off the ship after ranting that everything had gone wrong, and et cetera, et cetera. From there, we went to... I was being followed by three individuals who were doing a very reasonable job of following me. If I had not been me, I would never notice that they were doing that. But I was me. So... I had told the party this, but decided to take no actions, hoping that they would make some action that would reveal the reason behind their following. And then they did! A black gentleman approached Miss Villain and discussed with her the, a potentiality for meeting and revealed that he was a member of the Continental Ops. We decided to follow up on... some names that the mafioso gentleman gave us, specifically the name of a bookie, and who was perhaps one of Bert's best characters ever, and who I absolutely adore and cannot wait to meet again, as he was an utter sleazeball, and he was just so pleasant in being a sleazeball. It was just the best. Good job with him, Bert.
As played by Danny DeVito. Yes,
as played, I could just picture it so perfectly. just so great. We managed to get a meeting with him, and he decided, as a favor to the great Franny, that he was... Well, anyways, I'm going to leave off there. I've already monopolized enough of this.
Let
other people... Yep.
I'm going to jump in a little bit here. Okay, well, we found out that the boat with the party, was held by one of the, now, I might be wrong, but I think it was one of the Beale brothers, and he actually ended up punching his brother in the face and throwing him off the boat, and the broken crystal is what led us to the nightclub, which led us to the, Danny DeVito wannabe, who really seemed to have a thing for me, so I forget what I signed. I signed a napkin or something, or his head, or whatever. But in any case, we're kind of in, like, Flynn with him a little bit. Don't want to overdo that, but he's favorable towards us. And after that, we looked in the car. There was some blood in the car. There was some, other evidence, and after that, I'm going to pass off to Chris.
All right, Officer Figgs, what is remembered from last session?
Very little, but what I have written down. The car is no ordinary car. There's a lot of high-end things in it, kind of like a button to pull down the dashboard, and there was a couple of guns. The name of the boat was Tidy Ending, and we found out that a lot of the booze and crystal from the boat was from a place called Casey Catering. And then, Nick and I went to a detective agency and we got some information. And we signed our lives away. And that's about all I can remember.
All right. And,
No. I signed no life away. You have me mistaken for someone else.
We'll pick up the spare with Anise. What does Anise Villain remember yesterday?
Nick's already just done the one thing I remembered, so I'm done.
You got nothing.
I got nothing with that. Yeah.
All right. Well, everyone else, take a chip. Unfortunately, Anise is left out of the chip department. You guys did hit on most of the clues that were dropped. I will refresh memory Mr.
I have more things because.
Yeah. Hold on. Let's give Jameis a chance if he just remembered something.
No. I was just gonna say, yeah, I'm sure Nick's got a lot more stuff that he remembers.
Okay.
Actually, I do have one more thing I remembered as well. But go ahead, Nick.
Okay, so we discovered that Miss Rose sometimes stayed at the Ambassador Arms, I believe is the hotel name, Bert, where the and we managed to discuss with the night shift man or the day shift man and managed to bribe him in order so that we can managed to get access into her files, and we found where the Hexon Corporation had apparently been doing some nefarious deeds. And apparently, the supposition is that Miss Rose managed to blackmail said corporation and anonymously disappear. However, she set herself up as a lounge singer in the great city of New Orleans, and then she was probably seen by one of the members of the corporation and recognized her. And then they sent two hitmen to go take care of her. However, the mafia managed to disappear Miss Rose, and they know where she is, but they're very reticent from letting us know. Once again, much of that is supposition based upon finding the hexagon naughty documents, basically, that Miss Rose had been keeping. Her house had been tossed by two said thugs, and we don't know their current where they are. We also found out, of course, that the brother of, or someone who claims to be the brother, we're not even going so far as to call him the brother, because apparently this is so suspicious that we're not going to accept it, called Delmer, is currently employing the agency to find Miss Rose. And anything else, Burke, that you wanted to... Nope.
Okay. A couple of things I just wanted to fill in on that is, and these are going to be very random. Sorry for the randomness, but one is the car that we found at the docks had the dashboard modified so that it could hold weapons, and there are some weapons missing that I believe we subsequently found seem to be used, have been used in other crimes. The thing with Rose is that she was masquerading as a lounge singer and then she disappeared, and she did actually make a copy of the files. I think it was Hexaco.
Hexaco, the correction I wanted to make. Hexaco.
Yes, Hexaco. Yeah, as to them doing some drilling or pumps out in various areas that were absolutely poisoning the landscape all around them, and she pretty much had the goods in these files and subsequently disappeared, so that's really super suspicious. And pretty much those are the only two things that those files about Hexaco being pretty heinous and poisoning the environment and her disappearing and everybody claiming they have no clue as to who or what she was, even though we have proof that she existed, is pretty weird.
Okay. And the thing that I wanted to add, which may come up later, is that our Mr. Jack Vance dropped the name of Julius when you were talking to Agamemnon, or Aggie for short.
Yes, I did.
Oh, Agamemnon. The
Aggie. Yeah.
Danny DeVito.
Yes. Okay, so I am going to, if you want, Jameis, for a chip, if you will bring up the dossier. It's fairly short. Would you mind reading it out for the benefit of the listeners?
Okay, I just got to go to the thread. We linked to it in the notes and the Skype because it'll be useful.
Okay. And this will be the manila folder that was handed over by Continental Ops. And the other thing that I'm going to kind of state here, which was kind of nebulous, but in case the characters or even the players are wondering why they should be bothering with this Delilah Starr, Rosemarie LaGrange, which apparently is her given name, is because you think there is a tie between her and Tucker Stiles, because she was a star, and apparently by some folks' estimation, she was also being stalked by Tucker as well. So it may be another lead for you to find Tucker by finding the star.
Everyone's being stalked by Tucker.
Oh. Yeah, he gets around, apparently.
Really? Just loves the ladies.
Yeah, come closer to the mic, Nick. You're coming in low.
Oh.
All right. Have you found it there, Jameis?
Yep.
All right.
Okay, so this is we've got here is a missing persons record. Her given name is Rosemarie LaGrange, performed under the name Delilah Starr. Ethnicity, black. Age, unknown. Place of birth / past residence, Manchac, which I don't know where that is.
It's northwest of New Orleans. It's just outside of the city. It's about a 15-20 mile drive.
Okay. Last known residence was in New Orleans, 1519 Bayou Street. She started living there 6 weeks ago. The last employer was the old Absinthe House in New Orleans, proprietor Dan Waller. Her former employees were Hexaco, the Manchac office, then the New Orleans corporate office. Her parents were not yet determined. Father was a sharecropper, who we do know, but we don't know what his name is. and siblings are Delma, brother, knowing confirmation of others. The faith is voodoo under Father Etain, the Manchac head of the church that she attended. Last seen, uncertain, did not show up for work at Debson's house Saturday last. Evidence so far collected. Rizzo, Manzetti, and Gator Boudreau have been asking about the girl. They're possibly linked to Hexaco, but this is unconfirmed. Word on the street that this is some bad, bad men who work for top dollar to do unsavory acts. Unlike us. And this info was collected 4 days ago. And there's an attached clerk's note. Deposit on work done has run out. Original customer not willing to continue. That's Dan Waller, the proprietor of the old Edson's house. Further money's been wired from a client who identifies himself as the Grange brother, Dalma. New agents need to be assigned to the case.
Right, and this now has been pawned off on you guys.
Mm-hmm. And that we accepted simply because I wanted to know what they knew. I couldn't accept the fact I didn't know. I really need to take like the curiosity hindrance because I have it. Part of me.
You can always take it, you just get no points for it.
I mean, yeah, it's just one of those where it's just like...
Alright, so we are picking up that Tuesday, we'll say after breakfast. Officer Samuel, you're still on medical leave, so this is why you have time on your hands to play around with this. And again, for you, probably a lot of it has to do with tracking down this Tucker Stiles, who apparently is a major player and has caused some death and destruction in your fair city block. So
yes, and he put me on medical leave.
Yes, yes, he did. So you're probably still walking around with a little bit of a gimp, as we just recently got out of the hospital. So let's assume that everyone has gotten together for breakfast or just after breakfast at a modest time of day of just before noon.
That sounds can't do reasonable it. For me.
People that work nights don't get up too early. So
No. I will have a mess of eggs and some like hash browns and.
Oh, do you want to host this at your home then?
Yes, I will.
All right, so we are around your guest table then, with a few rituals set out for people and probably a roiling cup of coffee. So let's take it up that scene there. Tuesday morning, just before noon.
Okay, so things that I think that are worthy for us to investigate. Number one, there's Father Etienne. He would be an excellent individual to interview and find out some further information. I'm reckoning he knows a lot more than what he will say. Anybody here actually practice Voodoo?
Chirps tell you. No one's fessing up to it.
Yeah, so... don't actually hold to the religion myself, but I've seen the powers that do so. I think it would be wise to approach Father Etienne with some respect. Does anybody here have some access to some reasonable whiskey?
Well, you all do. Well, the people that work for Mooney definitely have access to top shelf liquor.
I, on the other hand, and I need someone else to purchase some whiskey for me, because I am poor.
Just as a point of reference to help your flow here as to what to investigate first, Tane is in her place of birth, which is Manchac, outside of New Orleans.
Oh, okay, so...
I will go to the stores and very carefully... retrieve one bottle of whiskey and hand it to Jack.
Hey, so quick question there, Bert. Now, is this meant to be focused in on New Orleans? Like, should I be looking for a Voodoo guy in New Orleans?
Do whatever you would like. I'm just pointing out that some of the information is to be found in Manchac, and you've got some information to be tracked down in New Orleans. Manchac isn't that far, but it is okay. Not in New Orleans proper. You'll have to get it transportation to get out there.
Does anybody have a car? I'm assuming no.
Nope.
Nice.
Nope.
Okay. So who here has money?
Well, you could take a bus, by the way. They do have buses that will run out that way. Actually, yeah, the transportation by bus is very large in this era. I mean, I'll give just him a about nickel. Anywhere by bus.
Yeah, but I don't want to be out in the slums in a town where there's a Voodon guy. And if I piss him off and I don't have immediate exit, I might not live to see the morrow.
But
oh, and another point of clarification. You were told that the two fellows that are hired for nefarious deeds had ransacked her house, but no one's actually gone to her house.
Okay.
Yeah. No, we should do that.
Yeah. So, okay. So New Orleans things that we should do, I guess, is go talk to Dan Waller. I had thought that Father Etienne was inside of New Orleans proper there, but anyways, so, and then we can check on, we could talk to Hexico.
They have a corporate office here, yes.
Yeah.
Well, we could see. What would you ask Hexico about?
Are you trying to kill Rosa LaGrange? And you know how bad that would be for your press if it found out? Also, I have all these articles. Give me money! I want money!
So you want them to come after you?
Well, I can. Trust me, it would not be the first man I killed.
Oh, no! Surprisingly.
No. Yeah.
Saying that to an officer of the law.
He's seen me kill people.
Oh, that's true.
That was in self-defense. It was different.
Exactly! I didn't say I shot a man in cold blood. I said I killed a man. There's a difference. Now, have I shot a man in cold blood? Maybe. I'm not going to discuss that in front of the good cop. So Old Absinthe House, their home address, I don't really have much to say to Hexico. I would prefer that we keep the information that we have about their company under wraps. I really, you know, they have deep pockets and they could keep sending people to kill me. And then it gets annoying after you deal with the third level thugs that they're going to send after you. It's just so sad. So, anybody have any objections? And then we go out to Machia. Sound good?
Yeah, well, also, do we know where Delmar is?
He's probably in Machia, but we don't know.
The money from the person who says he is Delmar was wired from Manchot. The wire transfer is actually showing up from there. So yes, that piece of information is there.
Yeah, and if we talk to Father Etienne, he's gonna know if there's a brother or a sister. You know, he's gonna know. He's gonna
there is a brother. Yeah. We just don't know if the brother is the one that's paying the money.
Yeah. And we could go there and talk to him.
I have no objections.
And then finally, no one here has underworld connections, do they? You, cop. Okay. Sam, you know, you could probably find out some people, information about Rico Mancini and Gator Boudreaux.
Would Streetwise work on this?
You're using Streetwise to find out what?
About
Rico Mancini and Gator Boudreaux.
Yeah, anyone that actually has Streetwise can go ahead and roll it.
Okay.
If you fail.
No, this is just going over background information of what you already know. You're not actually doing
nice.
Like...
Okay, good. I can roll it.
Whoa!
Also, Bert,
I think Franny's may have seen them at a club.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Nick?
I managed to crit fail on my very first roll of the night. Which I just love.
Okay, then you are convinced of false information. Like,
yep.
You're getting people confused.
Yep.
You think you know who he is, but I don't. So you can play that out.
Are you sure it's not me that's
Franny, confused? I think Franny, well, with the raise, I think Franny, like, saw them at a club one time.
Probably you heard about them, because they're not the club-going sorts.
Unless you mean club was in a large plank of wood with a nail in it.
do work with people that are, you know, just this side of the law. And so you've just heard in passing that, you know, if you ever need some unsavory work done, this was in regards to a friend, a performer, who was being harassed by her ex-boyfriend who had roughed her up a bit. And someone basically dropped his name saying, hey, you know, if you've got a little cash, they can make your problem go away.
I will pass that on to Jack.
Okay, I'm sorry. I can't see the roll. What was your roll again?
A 9.
Okay, with a 9, I'm going to say somebody actually gave this friend of yours a business card. And you actually saw it. You know, very, very plain, names printed on it, but it had a phone number on it, which with a 9, you do recall.
Ooh, awesome. Hey, Jack.
I don't know why I was so worried about this comedy team. I mean, they shoot people with water guns. It's silliness.
You know those guys you were talking about?
The comedy team.
Yeah, well, I came across them a little while ago, and I remember this is the number I had to reach them.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I'll make sure to give them a call if I need anybody to use squirt guns against somebody. I don't know
if it'll help me or not, but that's what I got.
Let me interject for a moment. Chris, with your 3, the names just are not recognizable. You don't remember seeing any wanted posters. Don't remember, you know, definitely haven't caused any trouble on your beat. Jameis, a niece with a 5, while that is a success, I don't really believe that you run with that sort of crowd for the most part.
If anything, I probably may have heard that they sort of beat up some of the people I stay with. You know, hassled some of the bums that I stay with.
Fair. Maybe actually, you might know with the 5 that occasionally, they do some bum rousting, like, you know, occasionally roll a bum for whatever they might have. So you've heard to look out for these guys, mostly by description. The name sounds a little familiar. So there you go. But not much more information.
No.
But yeah, they bum roll. There you go.
Very popular pastime there, so.
Surprised how much money some of these bums have. All right, back to you guys. Back to your scene.
Okay, so,
I give the phone number to Jack. I mean, that's what I have.
Okay, yeah, like I said, if I need somebody to shoot some squirt guns at a guy, I'll make sure to give these guys a call. Sounds good. All right, let's go roust their house, and then I'll give the absent house a couple hours to open up, and we can go talk to Dan.
Yeah, good plan. Most nightclubs won't start having anybody in there until late in the afternoon, probably. They're not known for being a diner, for instance, so yeah, that sounds like a good plan. Great. Everybody agreement on that?
Yeah, sounds like a good idea.
It's not too far away. It's within walking or short cab ride distance, whichever you want to do.
Walk. I'm walking.
There's a cut scene there. Delilah's place. It's small, comfortable rental house, just across the river, actually. So that is a bit of a walk. You probably did take public transport. I mean, you know, it looks like a penny, though, if you just want to, you know, jump onto a car. So.
Damn it. All right, I will.
Don't worry about that. When I tell you to deduct, you can, but I'm not going to charge you for taking a ferry or the train.
I'm not completely broke or anything yet, so I will give Jack $2 for transit and thing and expenses and stuff. Yes.
Yeah, because I'm down to like 50.
Okay, I'm down to like maybe like 200, so I'll give you $2.
Oh, keep in mind from last episode as well. I mean, if you want, you can go to Continental Ops and get some money for daily expenses too.
Yes,
if you need to do it, it's there.
If I need to sell my soul to the devil, I will keep that in mind. That there are people out there who are looking to get hooks into me, and I can call on them for aid, and that will only ever come up.
which is exactly why I'm just going to give him $2, because I think $2 will cover most, like,
Speed
transit.
Speed is paranoia. Yes.
Yes. Look, right, man.
So, Delilah's house. The front porch is concrete and pretty mm-hmm. much barren except for a couple of planters of flowers. Flowers mm-hmm. are well maintained, by the way. They've not mm-hmm. overgrown. Looks like someone was taking care of them. So there you are. She doesn't have, closest neighbors are a fair bit away. Although, you know, here in the middle of the day, actually, it probably took you an hour to get there. So let's say we're just after noon now. So let's call it 1 o'clock. You arrive there. Neighbor to, facing the house, neighbor to the left, older elderly lady is outside walking her dog. She just waves cheerfully as she sees, you all in front of, Delilah's house. Doesn't seem to be a busybody though. She goes about her way after waiting. House to the right, looks like is currently not occupied.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to light a match and hold it, close my, left eye, and then I'm going to hold it in front of my right eye, and I'm going to whisper a few words, in Latin. And I am going to see if something happens. Something does happen.
You're blind.
Everyone sees that. So everyone sees Jack do this strange thing. What are you casting there?
Detect Conceal Arcana. I'm trying to see if there is something magical in the air.
A faint, very faint, amount of, a magical presence, as if something, did transpire or, well, let's say a trace about. So it's mm-hmm. been a while since anything was active, but there's definitely a trace left.
Okay.
Actually, go ahead and give me a general knowledge roll. Since you are into this sort of thing, you might understand what it is you're seeing. So just a smart test with a cult 5. Sure. You see this often in people who have faith. You know, you've seen it a lot in Catholic homes. Down south, actually, you've seen people who believe in some older religions, etc. It's a common for households to have like a protective, like if the house was consecrated for the health and love of those within, etc. Mm-hmm. So you know, and you can tell since this is just kind of ephemeral now. It's kind of like the after image of it. At one time, it was being maintained. It currently is not. So it's just about gone at this point. But at some point, someone had consecrated this home for the benefit of those within.
Okay. And it feels Voodoo in origin, correct?
Or? With a 5, you can't really tell.
Okay.
But you know, it, practically speaking, the flavor of the religion doesn't flavor the spell. If you rolled like an ace or more, you might be able to tell some particularities. But really, once the spell is in motion, they all look the same to you.
Understood. Okay, so there was... Understood. Alright, so I'll go ahead and blow out my match. Say, I'm going to go have
a... That's you.
What? People are weird, man.
It's not the weirdest thing we've seen him do.
Yeah,
I suspect.
Yeah. I'm a weird guy. Sam, y'all want to go give the house a once-over? I'm going to go talk to the old lady.
Sure. I'll walk up to it.
Well, let's give Sam a scene first, then. All right, Sam, come up to the front door.
I will knock, because that's what you're supposed to do.
The first solid knock actually jars the door open. It seems like it was just barely closed and unlocked. So you go to thump it, and your rap is hard enough that the door just kind of creaks open.
Oh, dear.
Lean in and say, Miss Star, are you around?
There's no answer from within, and it is immediately apparent to you that the insides have been ransacked. It's just a wreck, furniture all over the place, drawers from dressers being pulled out, strewn across the floor. She had some tasteful paintings on the wall that are now wrecked and laying on the floor. Someone's done a pretty thorough job of ransacking the place. Now, you remember from the reports that Continental Ops had said that the two hatchetmen for hire had ransacked the place, so this is not unexpected.
Oh, I'll take a walk around calling for her, because I know she's not there, but trying to seem nice.
Okay, so you go into the house.
Yeah, and just look around.
You simply activate the trap.
They did a pretty good job in all the rooms, spilled cabinet doors or jar, etc. You don't see any blood, you don't see any signs of actually anyone struggling. It's just that someone had just gone through and just pulled everything out, ripped everything off the walls, like they were looking for valuables, that sort of thing.
Sort of like they were looking for a packet of information.
Yeah, it just looks like they were looking for things in general. What you do see that's still around, there's some several simple crucifix and Catholic icons on the walls. Give me a notice roll. This will be for the scene.
Oh, gosh. Please be high. Fine.
Okay. They're in very obvious places. Since you live in New Orleans, you know that this is actually... Voodoo and Catholicism seem to have a lot of similarities in certain ways. A lot of Voodoo practitioners do keep Catholic imagery around just so that people, you know, have a better impression of them. And these are pretty much front and center. You're like, you couldn't miss them.
But those pieces are not on the floor or
nope,
anywhere.
They're still attached to the walls. Like whoever was going about the place either had some respect for them, because obviously they didn't just miss them. Everything around them has been pulled off the walls and thrown to the floors. There's also papers throughout the house scattered around. That's a successful roll. So. Some of the papers you see have the Hexaco oil letterhead on the top. And okay, well, I'm going to stop there with you for right now, okay?
Sounds good.
So what is Anise and Franny doing?
Anise?
Just thinking. Just something along the lines of casing the street in there just to sort of see what's around. And
okay, give me a notice roll.
Yeah, I noticed nothing.
Did you roll, or are you just assuming?
I'm just assuming. I assume
okay,
correctly.
Okay. All right. Franny's actually going to go around to the other side opposite Anise and look on the other side of the building.
Sure, you give me a notice roll, too.
Okay, nothing.
right, yeah, so you don't see anything out of place. It's not so much that you guys are completely clueless, it's just you don't see anything. Really, and I'm going to give this to Anise's side of the street. There is a garbage bin to the left of the house, just inside the fence. Looking around the rest of the street, you notice that people have pulled their garbage bins out to the street level. It looks like, you know, living in the area, you know, there's a sanitation department that comes by. Tuesday would have been a day for them to come by and pull out the garbage. but people do have to bring their cans up to the street for it to be taken away. You notice hers is still tucked back behind her fence. So I'll give that to you.
Okay, that is super suspicious.
Well, supposedly, according to Continental Ops, she has been gone for over a week now. So there hasn't been anyone living here to pull the garbage to the street.
Yeah, we still need to look in that bin. Anise?
Yes?
You want to take a look and I'll call for you?
Not particularly, but okay.
Alright. Sure, I mean, it's behind her privacy fence, so no one has got a good look at you while you probably can go through her rummage bin.
By default, pretty much.
Fair enough. Most of it is what you'd expect to find. Food containers, newspapers. You do find an unopened envelope, though, that only says Miss Star on the front and bears no stamp or return address, as if it wasn't delivered through the post office.
Oink.
All right. And let's go with Jack. You want to go talk to the neighbor that is walking her.
Yes, the old woman who's walking her dog. Okay. I will give my broadest grin possible. Say, howdy, ma'am.
Hello, young man. Oh, mind the dog. I'm so very terribly sorry. The dog has already lifted his leg and pissed on your feet.
That's all right. I will go ahead and gently pat the dog and, you know, do a couple little playing motions with it.
So, as is often the case with small yippy dogs, it bares its teeth and humps around, but it lets you scratch it.
Yeah.
I'm terribly sorry, young man. He has a very tricky bladder. He's quite old.
Well,
not that I'm a spring chicken myself.
Oh, you could have confused and confounded me. Give me a second to recollect my thoughts, ma'am. So, I just happened to be looking for a missing lady. And she happened to live over that way. And I'm currently working for the Continental Op. Her boss thought it was mighty troubling that she didn't report into work. And we were just trying to see if anybody knew anything or anything suspicious, so that way we can help out in any way, shape, or form that we can. I'm going to give her my best smile and I'm a God-honest fearing citizen.
Sure. What kind of talkie skills do you have? Persuasion will work fine?
Yes, I am a persuading man. And I'm
do you
also
have any kind of charisma?
Yes, I do.
Add it on. Nice roll. Not quite an ace, but still good. So, yeah, she's taking you as a well-mannered young man. She pulls out a hand fan and starts cooling herself off from your... Right. So she says, oh, my. There have been several people come by asking about Miss Star over there. She's quite popular, you know. Lounge singer. Very beautiful voice. I hear her practice all the time. Now don't mind. I'm not making any reports to the police about noise or nothing. She has a voice like an angel.
Well, that must be a pleasant thing indeed and a terrible thing to miss. It's terrible. Terrible world we live in. That man would do such a thing to such... that you would go missing.
Well, she hasn't been around in over a week. I saw two young boys in there, but a few days ago. I thought maybe they were here to pick up her stuff. But I heard some awful noises around in there. But by the time I came out to see what the to-do was about, they had run out the back. Carrying away lots of stuff in their arms.
Oh, well, that is indeed a shame. And did you happen to get a good solid look at these young gentlemen?
No, young whippersnappers. Oh, couldn't have been, but yay, hi. You know, kind of marking off, you know, you'd think prepubescent, you know, somebody that's not quite a teenager in height. Little rapscallions. Now, I know she hadn't been in there, otherwise I would have called the police straight away, of course. But I knew she wasn't there.
So, young boys, they didn't look... Did you take a look at their dress? Were they dressed like some of these poor street urchins around here these days?
Well, they weren't properly dressed, mind you, but not horribly so. They didn't look like the beggar types. Of course, you know, we don't stand for begging on this street corner.
Well, that is just a way to go.
Person can earn a proper living.
Absolutely, a man with two hands has two hands with which to earn himself a living. And I'll go ahead and tug my lapels, my suit, just to emphasize the difference in between them folks and me. Say, yes, now, so you said they ran away. Was it look like boxes or nothing terribly valuable, I figure, else you'd call
police? Well, I couldn't really tell, but I expected that they were looting her place. I mean, they had a bed sheet or something with all kinds of things wrapped up in it. When I yelled at them, they made off.
Scamper off. In what way they scamper on off, ma'am?
Off the fence, over in that direction there. Points off with her cane.
Alright. I'll go ahead and take down a note of that. Alright. That's just the type of things that we can't abide in this world. What is the world coming to, ma'am?
No good, that's for sure.
That is for sure. Ain't got no better. So.
That little motherfucker.
I have a second where I consider to punt it as far as I can, but then I control myself.
Oh, go ahead. You know you want to. Go ahead. You know you want to.
Oh, look what Precious has done. I'm so sorry, young man. I need to get to walking him or he's going to keep doing this all day.
Okay, well, I one last question then, ma'am. Did you see Miss Star leave? Did she have any weird visitors? Things like that.
Well, I'm not a snoop. And, you know, I don't take to looking through my windows like some do around here, so I can't rightly say. I just know she's been gone for a little over a week.
Okay, you ain't seen... Well, that's
well,
terrible,
her right? Milk was piling up at the door, and I finally had to go out to the milkman a few days ago and tell her that she wasn't around. I mean, that's a terrible waste of milk.
Indeed it is, especially in these hard times. Well, and you said you anything you could have seen, ma'am, like some men coming by, somebody that I could talk to, just to find her poor boss. You can imagine his devastation upon losing such a woman with such a beautiful voice.
I imagine that she just went off with some fine young man, good looking like yourself, I'm sure, but I'm afraid I didn't see it.
Well, that is a terrible shame, ma'am. Well, you said that anybody around here who might have been doing the looky-looing through their windows?
Well, I'm her closest neighbor. That house over there on the right side of her property has been empty for a while. No one living there. And across the street, the neighbors there, you can see the hedges up there. They don't really have a good look at the porch. So I'm afraid I'd be the only one that would have a good look.
I will go ahead and take several steps away and say, well, ma'am, I certainly do appreciate your assisting me with you in my efforts. And I bid you a good day and good walkies with your dog.
Alright. Gonna cut scene back to Officer Figgs, who's in the house. No sign of, you don't see blood anywhere. You're not seeing bullet holes. If someone was taken from here, it was done either quickly, efficiently, or they went with their captors willingly. You're not seeing, there's general disarray, but you're not really seeing signs of a struggle. Nothing like really broken, anything like that. Again, the paper's scattered all over the place. You're seeing pay stubs. Those are the things that have the Hexaco oil letterhead on them. Apparently she's being paid $17 a week. It doesn't say what for. That's a pretty average salary, by the way, for someone that has a clerk type of job.
Yeah, it's actually pretty decent.
All of her pay stubs are neatly bound together. The first is dated a little over 4 months ago, and they stop less than 3 months ago. You also find receipts for milk delivery all bound together. She's apparently a very neat person and kept all of her receipts. They go back about 5 weeks.
When was the last date of the receipts?
A week ago. Well, for the milk delivery. For the Hexaco oil ones, again, let's see, I'm sure I get this right. First is dated a little over 4 months earlier, and they stop about 3 months ago. So pay stubs, weekly pay stubs are a little bit over a month is what happened with those. And they stopped 3 months ago.
Okay.
The only other thing that you find in the living room, there is a little leather bag with leather straps over it, just kind of laying in the middle of the disarray.
Huh.
In the bedroom, you find a lacquered chicken foot attached to a stick, along with small bones. Do you have any kind of a cult or religion?
I have Creole. Knowledge Creole. That's about it.
Good enough. These are some items of a person who practices voodoo. The bag is probably a gree-gree bag, something that you, it's a charm. People use it to ward off evil, bring good luck, that sort of thing. The chicken foot and the small bones, same thing. Her wardrobe, all of her dresses are gone. Just some casual clothes still lying on the ground. blouses and accessories, but looks like all of her stuff that she would wear while singing. Like, you've seen what your two friends here wear on stage, etc. Someone fitting that kind of work, you know, you're looking through a wardrobe, not seeing anything of that caliber.
Okay. So it looked like she took her performance outfits and left.
That's what it's looking like. Again, no real signs of a struggle. Right, I'm going to assume you guys are all back together now.
I'm going to ask Officer Figgis, of the clothes she had left, what color were they?
Did I see any purple colors?
No. The clothes that are left were all like semi-professional, something an office worker would wear. Or a professional secretary would wear lots of blouses and skirts. Common. Most everything is very understated whites, blacks, grays.
Oh, okay. So there were some whites left. Okay. Just checking.
Okay, so I will go ahead and blah them what I found out from the old woman. What did y'all find out from looking through the bin? I'm sorry, I forgot.
I'll see you later.
Ah, direct, and...
Direct mail, direct hand sent him to the box.
And no contents inside?
I haven't checked.
It's unopened, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go ahead and...
Open.
Let's go ahead and cut her open.
My dear Miss Starr, I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed your rendition of Love for Sale last night at the old Absinthe House. Fitzgerald couldn't have done it better. It felt like the world stopped churning when you started. And when you stopped, the entire planet came to a crashing halt. I imagine the very oceans ceasing their eternal shift. I believe the moon would swoon and crash down upon the world at the sound of your voice. To live in the presence of such beauty and grace is far better fate than a poor cashier like me deserves. I will attend every performance you give for the rest of my natural life. Yours forever. And then, T.S.
Oh, somebody's got it bad.
I appreciate the pros. I take a second just to simply appreciate that Mr. Stiles has such good prose.
Are we sure it's Mr. Stiles?
His Catholic Reformatory School surely did a good job with him. I will make sure to take that into account when I burn him to death.
No. Are you sure it's Mr. Stiles? We did go to a bank and we did actually, I think at some point in time, get a name of a bank teller. And what was the bank teller's name?
What?
Okay. So you're going by the name by cashier at the time is just a word for like a workaday person.
Yeah.
Not like a bank cashier. It just means someone that works for a living.
Yeah, but we had a name for that attached to that.
What? I don't recall it. I don't recall any of this. All right. Well, whenever you find your name. When you search your encyclopedic memory and find the name, let me know. All right. Well,
if it's a given name that we've come across before, then I want to investigate that. If it's not, then I don't want to bother.
Yeah, it's just the initials TS. That's all.
And that's who we're trying to find, isn't it?
Well, we don't. I'm assuming it's Tucker Stiles, and I'm assuming it's his prose and his being a general.
Yeah, me too. But
She's raising a perfectly pertinent point that sometimes I do jump to conclusions. It has been known to happen a time or two in my many incarnations. Anyways.
Wow, humble much? Don't worry about that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Tucker Stiles too.
All right. So how come this envelope was not even opened?
Yeah, that's
she
a big
She most likely knew who it was and didn't want anything to do with them.
Yeah, could have happened like that, or just could have happened like she got home and then she discovered the fact that there were people after her and she had more important things on her mind. Who knows? Mind of a woman is a thing that no man understands.
Franny and I clear them.
Where are you talking, by the way? In the house? On the stoop?
In the house, I assume.
Okay. Okay, so as you guys are, you're in the house there. Did you close the door? Did you open the door?
Close the door?
Right, there is a rapping on the door outside.
Is it a tapping?
And a firm voice calls out in a commanding tone. You in there! I know there's people in there! Come out, slowly, hands up!
You first.
Is that the authoritative voice of a policeman?
Sure sounds like it.
Well, I think we have our own policeman here.
Yes.
Okay. I'll give you to the count of three, and then I'm going to start firing. One!
Oh, wait, stop.
The door and walk out. Said two and three, general, what do you want?
Give me a general knowledge roll. Just give me a smart roll. Is it too far off? Well, actually, it is far off your beat, but
yes, it is. Smarts, right?
Yeah.
Bert, I'm actually going to pour myself a cup of tea and grab a biscuit and head out after Officer Figgis.
Okay, so you're going to go through her kitchen. And
yeah. But I'm going to have a cup of, I'm going to have a cup of tea and a biscuit in my hand.
Okay. Okay, you don't recognize the officer that's outside.
Yeah, I figured.
But he is wearing the correct uniform. You figure this might be the beat cop for this area. He's got his firearm drawn. He's far enough away from the door that you can tell this. He's not a green recruit. He's not close enough that you guys could take him by surprise. He's got a firing stance set up with his, you know, his legs. You know, this guy is middle-aged, a little bit less than middle-aged, which means does mean something to you. If he's still a beat cop at his age, either has no desire to be promoted up, or he's done something to be busted down. Mm-hmm. They don't give beat cop jobs to older guys.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah. So hands up where I can see him. I know there's more than one of you in there. Come out slow, slow like.
I said there's a couple of us in here. We are. I am
biscuit officer.
An officer. And I turn and I look at Franny. Right,
so yeah, you, Franny, you've got a biscuit and some tea, cold because of course you haven't had time to actually make tea in there.
No, but I'm gonna sip the tea as though it's really hot and keep downing it as though it's hot. And biscuit officer, would you like some tea?
Either give me a performance or coffee? Or persuasion roll.
Oh, I'm happy to give you a performance roll.
Very good. Okay, so he lowers the gun just a little bit and says, "Oh, sorry, ma'am. You're not the house's owner, though. Could you all just come out here for a moment, please?"
Actually,
his tone's changed a little bit. Gun's still out, but not pointed up.
Okay, here's the thing. Last I checked, the house's owner was Aunt Sarah.
This house? No.
Oh no! Sorry. No. Yeah,
you're not at your house.
Yeah, no. Okay, no, I'm not the house's owner, no. Sorry. No. No, I will come out very calmly and quietly and, will continue to munch my biscuit and, like, have a second biscuit on a plate and wave it tantalizingly by him and drink my tea.
So the two of you come out. What is Anise and Jack doing?
Ladies first.
I'm happy to stay here.
Yeah, you can hide. On the other hand, I'm not so good at the hiding thing, so I'll just calmly walk out.
Okay. So three of you come out. There are three of you, two men and a lady. He's still got his gun drawn. He looks a little confused. He says, "Now look, I know this place was sacked a few days ago. I expected to keep a lookout, see if people came back to the scene of the crime. You guys are all dressed pretty well. So like he's hesitating. He's like, well, could you please explain to me why you are in the Star's home?"
Oh,
Officer Figgs. Perhaps you could explain to your brother officer why we were here.
Oh, I am sure I can. I was just getting a little distracted by Franny's biscuit over there.
Oh, they are very good, aren't they? Well, see, you know, she's kind of an acquaintance of mine, and we were thinking about working together, and I hadn't seen her, and then I had heard from her, so I came over here to try to find out what happened, and then she wasn't here, but there were these wonderful biscuits. Oh, would you like a biscuit, officer? They're delicious.
So, you already made your performance role, so say you're buying that. Officer Figgs, you show him your badge?
Yes, I will show him my badge.
Okay. With her calming things down, and you show the badge, he puts the gun away and says, sorry about that, folks. I heard you all in the house. Like I said, I've been keeping a lookout since the place was ransacked a few days ago.
We were just trying to figure out what was going on here. Do you know where she is? I'm actually pretty worried about her.
He looks around the street and says, "Well, if you wouldn't mind, let's have this conversation a bit more private, shall we?"
Certainly, officer.
All right, so he's put his gun away. He seems a little bit more relaxed. He says, "Well, Delia moved into this house about 5 or 6 weeks ago. I watched her brother move her in. Big angry fella. I noticed because I didn't want a troublemaker on my beat, but he never came back around after I saw it. Delia was all right, real peach. Sometimes I'd hear her singing in the kitchen, practicing, I guess. She sure made my beat a
lovely voice.
We even talked a few times. That girl has a smile as wide as the Mississippi. But as to what happened to her, well, one day we were talking, and she told me about this guy. He'd been coming to the clubs for weeks to hear her sing. Seemed pretty normal at first, and he started leaving her love letters. I guess they got a little too much. Old Fat Dan kicked him out, but the skinny creep just kept watching out for her on the streets. There's no law against that, so we couldn't really do anything. So Friday night, I was walking the beat when I saw this guy following her home. He doesn't notice me, he just keeps following Delilah. I figured it was the same guy, and I decided to put an end to it. I dragged him off the street into the alley. I showed him I didn't appreciate him making my pet bird nervous. After I spoke with him, he crawled off back to, you know, whatever hole he came out of. I'm sure he didn't take care of our missing friend. He could barely walk after our conversation. He kind of winks at Figgs. It's like, you know what I mean.
Yeah, and I give him a stink eye. As I'm writing all this down.
Now, don't assume that Delilah was taken just because the house got robbed. That kind of thing happens around here sometimes. Kids, usually. I'm only one man, after all.
I completely feign ignorance. Did
you give me a description of him?
So he gives you a description. Remember back at the club, when Anise was given the present by the guy that was basically Styles' wingman.
Yep.
The Pearl?
That's the description. Weedy fellow, tall.
All right.
Oh, well. All right. And you said there were kids who were robbed, ransacking places?
Yeah, we got a big problem of them on my beat here. You having that? In your area, Officer Figgs, what's your beat?
I tell them my beat. They go, yeah, there's always little problems here and there.
Well, a big problem in our area here. You know, we got some nicer homes here, and lots of pensioners, older folks that aren't able to care for themselves as well. Little whippersnaps just go in through windows and clean places out all the time. You know, I've caught several of them, but what do you do? I mean, you can't hold them in cells. Most of them don't have family.
They got a place where they hang out around here?
He scratches his head. He says, well, the park, sometimes. A lot of them sleep under, like I said, they ain't got no homes for the most part. They sleep where they can. You know, we got some storm drain tunnels down near the park, the benches there, of course. Mm-hmm. Some of them even got shelters up in the trees.
You ever read that that book? Kids growing up in the jungles and all. Kind of like that. Feral, even. Feral.
Feral. All right. And where'd that park? Can I get a description?
Yeah, he just points down the block, actually.
All right. Alright, then. Yep. And she disappeared about a week ago now, ain't that right?
As I said, I followed this fella. It was a Friday night. I guess what timeline wise, she didn't show up for work Saturday, but she must have Friday. So, you know, so I followed this guy, had a little conversation with him. But I haven't seen Delilah since, but I know he never went back to see her. At least not that night. He was in no condition to.
Yep.
And again, a weedy guy, there's no way he could have overpowered her.
Yeah, yep. Ain't. Well. Alright. And did you have him tell Miss Stiles of your protection of her honor?
Oh, of course not. I mean, it's my duty. I just made sure that the woman got home safe. I did get a chance to talk to her after that. She'd gone missing.
So on Friday. So Friday sometime. Man, you work late hours. All right.
Yep. I rotate. Sometimes I work the night shift, sometimes the mid shift. Hey, I just got on work here, and I thought I'd swing by to see if she'd come back, and found you all here. So, that leads me to my original question. Why are you all here in the Star's house? Begging your pardon, ma'am, to a Franny co-worker, but that doesn't quite explain things. Officer, are you looking into something? You're not dressed in your blues. Your blues.
No, I am on leave right now, and I'm working for a certain person who is very interested in finding what happened to her.
Oh, side work.
Yeah.
I contract.
Well, I've been thinking probably about doing that myself. Pay well.
Yeah, you know, when you get hurt, you know, sometimes you just have to stay in it.
Well, I guess that's fine. I mean, it's not really anything here left to take, and you all look like fine, upstanding citizens. Although he looks a little sideways at Jack.
Oh, yeah. I would bet the police officer would see a little. Yes. The edges look nice and upstanding.
Anise, you have not made yourself visible, I take it.
No. There's also no reason to.
Alright. Well, I gotta get back to my beat, Officer Figgs. If you could, when you're finished up here, if you could, close the place up, I'd appreciate it. We don't want to tempt any more of those rapscallions back in. We don't want this to become a flop house, or a bum residence or anything. You understand.
Completely understand.
Well, good day, folks, and good luck. I hope to see Miss Star back in her home again.
Oh, me too. Do we.
All right, well, we got an idea where them rapscallions is. I figure we might as well pay them a visit. See if maybe someone had paid them to take, or whether or not they had just decided to take it off on their own initiative. And we got a little while to kill in between where we need to get to the...
And just a question, are you taking any of the paperwork that you found in the place? You got lots of receipts, you got her pay stubs from Mexico.
Oh yeah, let's go ahead and just take it all.
Alright.
I'm a hoarder. Never know what will be useful. You never know.
Okay, give me an occult roll, just you.
Alright. I am an occulty man. You might say it's what a... Damn it, I will spend a penny on that one.
Okay. That's a reroll.
Damn it!
Alright, so yeah, you see the items out as well. You don't think anything more of it than... I mean, you knew she was a Voodoo practitioner.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, that's irritating to me that I don't know what it is, but I can't justify spending that on paper. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Alright, well, it just ain't coming to me. I'm going to take the little gris-gris, just in case I can place it with perhaps a little bit more research. What exactly it is, or taking it to a Budan professional. Should have asked the man what.
Well, you know what it is, just having a cult tells you that.
Actually.
Luck charm, kind of like a rabbit's foot.
Oh, yeah, but there's something else here, a signature of the make and the model, you know, that kind of stuff. Yep. So.
Yeah, what goes into the bag is often very characteristic of a certain Budan priest.
Yeah. So, should I ask that woman outside as well? Oh, well.
I'm going to be giving Jack a little bit of wide berth if he's picking up a grigri bag.
That's fine.
I mean, you don't know. Those things are like wild cards. You don't know what the heck they do. And you're grabbing one?
Ain't nothing.
No, it's all on you. I don't want any splash off.
That is what it is. I'm sure physical distance will protect you. I appreciate your deep knowledge of the occult.
I have no knowledge of the occult, so as far as I'm concerned, I don't want any splash off.
Yeah, I'm just responding in kind. Let's go ahead and see what these rascals are up to. Diddle-oo, diddle-oo.
Okay. You're at the park. It's the middle of the day, so, I mean, there's really no one here. You do see signs that people are using park benches underneath to sleep in overnight. Look up into the trees, you see that there are some platforms that have been built with debris, taken from torn down homes, etc. Some of them are wooden pallets have been stripped and used. So like the little forts up in the trees. But you don't see anyone around.
Anise, could you touch base with a couple of your contacts and see what's up? See if they might know who hit that police over there. See maybe a couple men paid them to do it.
Well, I'm not usually in this area. But I can ask around.
But you know the signs and you know where they hide better than me. I don't much travel with them folk, so I don't know them as well as you do.
Actually, Anise, this is a new scene. Give me a notice roll here. Actually, everybody can give me a new notice roll for this scene.
Yeah, I should have asked for that. Ah!
Oh.
The dice decided they love me that time.
Okay. Officer Figgs and Jack, you're looking around. You're seeing where people have been using this place to kind of camp out, keep out of the elements, that sort of thing. You're looking around, and both of you see a set of shrubbery that looks a little odd. It was one time made to be a shrub maze for this park, but no one's tended it. It's overgrown. But you can see trails going into it where, like, probably children, on their hands and knees have been going in and out of it. So they've left kind of like a little skid trails in the grass and in the dirt. It would be a fine place to hide things, you're thinking.
Yeah. Anise, you're small.
Yeah, dragon smaller. What's the point?
Well, there might be a place over there that's worth looking at.
I look around, not noticing anything.
I will point it out. There! There!
Yes, that looks like quite a good area.
Yes. Well, why don't you go ahead and go take a look over that way, and if you don't see anything, I'll go after you. But, you're a bit smaller, I mean, you fit in that way a little bit better, me.
And if I encounter the people we're looking for,
then I'll come in after.
Yes, that's good to know.
Oh, trust me.
Jack, you don't think you could actually fit into that shrubbery.
You don't even
not
know
without
that.
Taking lots and lots of lacerations. And
but you do think it'll burn well.
it's too green, damn it.
I just need more fire then.
Yeah, you gotta burn things when they're dead, not when they're alive. Okay. Except people.
Does it look like I can get through with my cloak, or will that be too entangled?
No, you think you could.
Okay. That's fine. Well, dragon can lead the way.
Dragon, sure. Dragon will hop down, go ahead of you, and you're on your hands and knees to get through. It is windy. The shrubs have grown tall overhead, so what used to be like passages in the maze are now just reduced to these crawling spaces that you barely fit through, but well enough. You can definitely tell it's well used, like the dirt and mud have had. There's several marks that people have been coming back and forth through here. All right, so you've made your notice roll for the scene, very low. thankfully, you put Dragon ahead, so let's see if Dragon recognizes a bad position when he smells one. I'm going to say Dragon has a D8 notice.
Okay.
It's not a wild card, though, so just roll a straight D8.
Dragon's not a wild card? I protest.
No, okay, so a 2. What you hear is like this snick sound. As you're coming, you're going through, there's kind of an intersection here, you're still on your hands and knees, Dragon has passed through. And you hear this little snick sound, which you are very familiar with. It's the sound of like a blade being deployed.
Mm-hmm.
And from the darkness from to your right and left, in unison, you hear a very young voice call out, "Snitches get stitches." And you see two young boys, kind of, they're smaller than you. So they're kind of like down on their haunches, but they got more mobility since they're not on their hands and knees. And they pulled out straight razors. Making a little snick sound as they've deployed the braids and they're coming at you. You see ahead of you, there's an open area and there are crates and boxes and you can see like there's rugs. It looks like stuff they've been stealing has all been, collected here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So they've got to drop on you, because you and Dragon did not notice.
Got notice the squat.
Which is bad because,
Well, they get surprised.
Specific rules in this setting when you get the drop on someone. Mm-hmm.
Jeez, the drop is real bad.
Unfortunately, you don't have the rule book there. And Nick, what is it? It's the PC gets full advantage of a joker? Or...
I've got my GM screen. Okay, when if the attacker has to drop, and you get a bigger roll or be knocked unconscious. Okay, so yeah, they're both coming at you with... the razor blades extended.
Oh my god.
Yep. Okay, so yeah, they're attacking. They're going to get around before you because they have the drop on you.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, so I will roll in roll 20 so that you guys can see the rolls. They're not like professional killers or anything, so you know, they're not very schooled at this. 2d6s, 1d6 for each of them. Your parry
subtle.
Is non-existent. Yeah, because you're on your hands and knees.
So not really great in the first place, 2.
Minus 2, so what is your parry?
2. That's before it modifies. So they can't miss.
4 and a 6. Yeah, they both hit you.
6 rays?
Yes.
What's the name?
It's 4 plus...
No. One was a 4, one was a 6. I just rolled. They each have a D6.
The 6 aces.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the 6 is a raise.
Well, the 6 explodes. It doesn't necessarily raise.
Actually, considering it's going up against my parry of 0, it probably technically does come as a raise.
Oh, my God.
Hit with a raise. Okay. Yeah. So you're definitely shaken or worse from this roll. So give me a vigor roll.
What's their attack?
Let me figure the total damage first. Let me figure the total damage. So one hit and one hit with a raise. They're not very strong.
Yeah, I'm not very tough either, so.
The raise damage is going to hurt really. So 7 points of damage.
Does that count as a cumulative or 2 different attacks?
This is 2 different attacks, actually. You are correct. So. One is going to be 4 points of damage, and one is 3 points of damage. Is that over your toughness?
Toughness is 3.
They're both. Well, one is equal, one is over.
Yeah. Well, over by 1.
If you're shaken or worse, You must make a vigor roll against a total damage or be knocked unconscious. The total damage is 7, so that you need to make a vigor roll of a 7 or better.
Mm-hmm. Guess which part of HP does worst?
Smarts.
No.
Oh, damn. I guess I lose.
Okay, so you are knocked unconscious by them coming at you. So the two, let's see, so...
This might be where you spend those bennies that you have.
You've got one wound as well. The first one would have shaken you, the second one would have given you a wound.
Do you not have a chance to soak the wounds before?
You can, yeah.
Okay, so I would have... Not that it would have helped, but I will try to soak the wound.
Sure. Let's do each one then. So the first one would come through 4 points of damage, which is enough to get just to shake you.
Yep.
So you can spend to not be shaken if you want, which means the second one would just shake you instead of wounding you.
Yeah, that probably works pretty well. Just do that.
Want to do it that way?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not wounded, but you are unconscious because they got the drop on you.
All right.
Let me think about that for a second. So if you spend a Benny, yeah, because you would still have taken the damage, but you spent the Benny to not be shaken, but it's still a bigger roll against the total damage. So the total damage is the same. So you're unconscious, but you are not stunned. Well, you took no damage, you were just made unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
Does that track for people? Because he spent the Bennies to basically not be stunned, because each attack was only enough to shake him. Not wound him. So he spent them to not be shaken, but he still takes the damage.
Right. I just don't know where he becomes I thought it players become incapacitated at 3 wounds, but it might be a special thing that I don't know.
No. This is called a knockout blow when someone is shaken or, oh well, actually I'm sorry, because he wasn't shaken.
I was on the second round.
You were, that's true. You were, unless you spent 2 bennies, you were on the second. So do you want, okay, so this is up to you then. If you want to spend the second Benny and not be shaken on that second attack, then you won't be knocked unconscious. But if you don't spend it, you will be knocked
unconscious. Just to really get into this, I spent the Benny on the first one, so does that still count towards doing the wound thing of the vigor test?
It should, because you're still taking the damage, you're just not being, you're not getting the shaken status by spending the Benny. Like, so you actually took the 4 points of damage, which made you shaken. You spend the bunny, though, to become unshaken. You know what? I'm gonna let this be a story element. You choose. Do you want to be knocked unconscious, but not wounded? Or do you want to still be conscious?
For being unconscious, cause it's, you know, I'll need to come up with another character design sooner or later, so.
You'll probably hear
Dragon yowling a fair bit at this point. Especially Nick with the raise and the raise and the raise and the raise.
Yeah.
So,
a few minutes pass, Anise, you don't hear Anise?
Unless they attack Dragon, they're going to hear Dragon.
Oh, yeah. Well, I figure that I'm hearing Dragon anyways. Because Dragon's probably yelling, right?
I'm going to let you play it, Jameis. What would Dragon... They didn't notice Dragon. Dragon just... They figured just a cat. You know, not necessarily with you.
No, he'll be yelling. So, don't you worry about him trying to attack them. I don't think that's going to be effective. But he definitely would be kicking up a fuss.
Okay. Then notice rolls for the scene. Franny unfortunately won't hear the yelling, but Officer Figgs and
me. Probably. Okay. So quickly assessing the scene. Franny, can you get down there, and can you get into there?
Both of you are too big.
Okay, well...
Opening the size for a child.
And right. I can't hear anything anyway.
Well,
so
I hear it, so I'm asking you.
But I can't, I'm too big.
Okay, but you said, Bert, that I could get down there. I'm just going to look like hell.
You're going to be basically pushing yourself through... a bush, and getting raked by all the branches and
I'm gonna follow Jack because if it's that bad, somebody needs to be there to back him up, so I'm gonna follow.
Am I slightly smaller than Jack?
You are, but the problem is that the holes are like child sized.
Yeah. Denise was barely small enough.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tear through there. I mean, I gotta go.
Okay. Yeah, we got it. There's no question about us going. We're going. It's just.
No problem. So, who's Sam in the lead? Or Figs, are you in the lead, or is Jack in the lead?
Who dives
in the hole first?
Oh,
I would.
I
have a code of honor, so I have to go.
Alright, no problem.
I think I have loyalty as well.
So you guys basically tear through the brush.
I don't care.
Tearing through the brush, ignoring the cuts and abrasion that's just tearing you up, tearing up your clothing as you're going through.
Come on, Figs, get your butt in there.
Yep. Figs, with your notice roll at the beginning of the scene, up ahead, through this, again, very tight tunnel, you notice that you see Anise's boots, actually, is receding into the dark tunnel, so like she's being dragged. Anise had the small hindrance is why she was able to get through.
Oh, yeah.
I've got smart mouth, which is why I'm going to give you, like, lots of crap.
All right, so...
Who doesn't?
You're doing this at kind of a breakneck pace, as how it was kind of described. What's your toughness? 3 points of damage as you're just tearing through here. Vines are just ripping up your clothes, scratching you. What's your toughness?
5.
Okay, you're fine. I mean, you're bleeding, you're scratched. These clothes are ruined, but you're just barreling through. Next is Jack.
Yeah.
Negligible. Probably because Officer Figgs is making a hole for you.
Yeah.
So your clothes are getting caught, etc., but you're mostly free from being torn up as badly.
Yeah. But I am charging in right behind him. He and I are big damn heroes.
All right, I have just dealt cards, and so
I'm actually going to stay outside and use a... I'm just going to sit there and try to cover the entrance to make sure nobody comes in behind them.
Yeah, this is a fairly large... this used to be a hedge maze, okay? So there could be numerous entrances and exits. Do you want to go around it? Do you want to try... You can climb a tree onto one of those platforms to get an overhead view.
Okay, I'm going to try that. Do I need to roll climbing?
No. There are plenty of handholds. This is an easy thing to do. But that's going to happen on your turn. Jameis, you are unconscious. How long does a person stay unconscious?
It's only been around, so it's going to be a while.
Yeah, it's 1d6 hours.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. So, we're just going to take you off the train. Yeah.
Okay, well, I might as well look that up because I don't have nothing to do.
If you find something in different than that, let me know, okay?
Yeah.
So, Sharon, you actually are next up in the initiative. So you climb a tree, step off onto one of the platforms, and you've got a good bird's-eye view of the hedge. Again, it's overgrown, so you can't see down into it, but you can see where some of the branches are being moved and swaying. You can't see what's going on inside, but you can kind of track motion.
Right. I just want to make sure that... That Jack and Sam are the last two in there. I don't want anybody to go in after them.
Sounds good. All right. Nick, Jack is up next. Of course, you are behind Officer Figgs, but there are branching corridors to the left and to the right, too.
Okay. Do I see the boots of Anise?
You had a good notice roll, too, so you use notice that she's being dragged ahead of Officer Figgs. They're making better time than Figgs.
Okay, I'm going to chunk a flashbang, quote-unquote, airway.
What would they be doing about Dragon? Because there's nothing else they can track by Dragon.
Growling.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. You hear probably Dragon is keeping pace with your body, I would assume.
Yeah.
The kids aren't bothering with Dragon.
Okay.
They haven't kind of worked out the fact that he's yowling, but it could be just because there's new humans around him.
Dragon!
So you hear Dragon.
Oh!
Oh my. Fumble!
Oh!
So what happens? What happens when you fumble?
So, speaking of setting the maze on fire.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
You cannot spend a Benny when you fumble like that. So what happens when you spell fumble?
I don't know. I
think you actually eat it.
Alright, so. suffers a particular type. All right, so I get to roll on the overdose page on 52.
Yes. I'll just take one.
All right, overdose. I roll a d20. Let's see what comes up.
Higher the worse.
Yes, the higher the worse. I might be dead.
I don't think you're that bad.
Eight.
So what is
chicken.
Eight is backwash. He is shaken and picks up a level of fatigue.
All right. There you go.
That's not that bad.
Yep.
All right, so you could not spend a Benny to change it, but you can still spend a Benny to not be shaken. That's up to you, and you can do it whenever you wish. But that is your action, was trying to cast for the round. So.
Yep.
Also, your vice kicks in really bad at the moment.
Yeah. Okay. He's shaking.
You want to burn something bad.
Well, no, it's something that happens. Like
the negative effects manifest as a result of the grifter's chosen vice.
Yeah. I'm going to read exactly what's up while other people take it.
Yeah, I'm thinking something to do with fire, though, because that's your thing.
Yeah,
their turn is next. Okay, so, Jameis, what does Anise have on her person? Money, especially. Jewelry.
Oh, God. She has got...
Shut your mouth.
They are going to go ka-ching. The two items I have noted down, which are items of note, lockpicks and $80.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Well, they basically pat you down, take everything out of your pockets, and then leave your body. Chris, Officer Figgs, okay? Your turn. So, Anise has stopped moving, at least her boots have stopped moving. You can hear a kid, you can hear some voices that are kind of beating feet, moving up faster past her. What do you do? It is dark in here, by the way. It's quite dark.
I don't think it's dark anymore.
Well, okay. Go ahead.
You might see it's everything on fire. That doesn't mean everyone does, but you might see everything on fire.
Yeah, okay. So, the overdose is spamming, calling in marker for the power that the grifter's been scheming, and it comes with a hellish eye interest whenever possible. The negative effects of manifest is resulted, but even those the spiritual. Okay. Okay, the reason why I'm shaking and I pick up the level of the fatigue is actually. Has to do with me. It's not a physical manifestation upon others. So, yeah. Alright. So no, it's still dark.
What are you doing? It's dark. You can make out her shoes that have stopped moving by what little light is coming in through the canopy over you.
Well, I can't get past her, could I?
Well, you can get up to her and you can try and get past her. It's up to you. You're going to take some more damage if you try to go quickly and try and catch up. If you just want to get to her body, you can do it easier and try, and basically not get yourself all torn up.
No, I want to go hell-bent past.
Okay.
If you fumble, you trip over dragon.
All right, what is your toughness?
5.
All right. 7 points of damage. You take a big gash to your side. That's enough to stun you or to put you in shaking. Which means you do not get to move in as you wish you were.
Unless you spend a penny. Yep. If you spend a penny, you go, oh, it's not that bad.
I'll spend a penny.
Okay. Spend a penny, you're unshaken. I'm still going to say that your clothes were hung up, which is what caused the shaken status to begin with from that damage. So I'm going to say you got up as far as to where Anissa's body is. She's fine. She just looks like she's got a couple of cuts on her jacket, a little bit of blood, but just a little bit. It's not like she's bleeding out. She's still got a good breathing. And then far ahead of you, you can hear Dragon is still here. I don't think Dragon would have left her body. So Dragon is here. She stops meowing loudly as someone Dragon knows has shown up. You can kind of hear further up in the head of the tunnel like a couple of voices in the distance as they're making good time.
Oh, gosh. I want to pull out a gun and shoot, but I'm too nice of a guy to do that.
Well, you know the children. You do know their children. Yeah. But that may not mean anything to you.
No, I gotta,
And they haven't murdered Anise. Perhaps it would be suitable if they had killed her.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Absolutely. No, she's okay, so we'll try and get her back out.
Okay, yeah, so she's unconscious, but she seems to be okay. Looks like they cut her a few places and then just beat her around a little bit. But she seems to be okay otherwise. Right, so that'll be your scene. We're going to go back up to Sharon. Sharon, you see two young men out of the back end of the maze. They kind of come out with hands and knees, and they get up and start running.
Okay, I'm going to take a pot shot at them.
Do you have a gun? What are you pot shooting with?
Oh, I do have a gun. I'm not very good at it. I'm not very good at it, but I'm just going to try to, like, take a pot shot at them to make them keep their heads down.
Okay, so you do whatever you would like to do, but I'm just pointing out, you're in a public park, no witnesses around, but you're going to be discharging a firearm. You know there is a beat cop nearby.
Yes, exactly.
No, that's such a bad idea.
Shush, shush.
Yeah. Okay, so what are you, all right, okay, so you're gonna bear down with your gun and try to shoot one of these kids. They're obviously kids.
Right.
Okay.
What did you
roll them.
Okay, that's a fighting roll, right?
Shooting. Well, you're shooting. No, it's a shooting roll.
Okay. Shooting.
Yeah, so shooting. Let's make sure that you understand the scene. So you are up on a tree on a platform. They're at the far end of the maze, so they're nowhere close. So you would have to, you'd have to shoot a gun or do something to get range.
I don't really want to get range. I just want to make them nervous and make them go away.
Right. So you just want to fire it, but not at them, just to get their attention, maybe?
Get their attention or get them to, like, think this is a bad idea to go in the direction.
I will allow you to do this as an intimidation roll. You can discharge your firearm and yell at them, the next shot is going to take you down or something like that. How's that?
Okay.
Sound good?
Sounds worse. I'm just going to take shooting roll.
Okay. You're just going to shoot them then.
I'm going to shoot it. I don't have intimidation. I actually do have shooting.
Okay. So you're going to shoot one of the kids.
Shooting a gun would give a bonus to your intimidation.
It would. Yeah. I'd give you a +2 if you want to do it as an intimidation. But okay, I mean, so feel free to bear down or shoot a kid.
No. Then I'll take the intimidation roll. So that gives me a net neutral on intimidation. Okay.
So it'd be a D4 plus your wild die D6.
Yeah, I'm actually gonna have to type this in. So give me a second.
Just do a slash roll 1D4 plus 1D6 will be. And what kind of gun do you have, by the way? Is it one of these small women's holdout guns?
Yes, it is. It's one of those little small.
So it may not be that. Okay. It may not be that loud. I'll give the officer a notice roll afterwards.
Slash
roll.
Yeah, I thought I put in the slash. Sorry.
You're using roll20.net again, guys.
No dot.
Ah!
Sharon's writing in code. She wants to put that dot there. You did it again.
No,
I didn't.
Slash R.
No, nothing happened. There we go.
There it goes.
Six.
Nope.
So you rolled a 4 on the D6, which is a success. Mm-hmm. So you shoot a kid. What's the damage on your gun?
No, she's intimidating.
She's intimidating. I'm sorry. Okay, so this is a versus.
God. Why do people want to shoot these children?
I don't want to shoot children. I just want to keep them away.
These are kind of hard-bitten children. They've had a rough life, so they do have a D6 on resisting this. They also roll a 4, so it's a push, but I tell you what, it is enough to give them pause. So you fire. So were you firing? Yeah, you had to fire the gun because I gave you a +2 for it. So that kind of brings them up.
And I just stop
them and
where you are. Stop where you are.
Okay.
Notice.
Next shot won't miss.
Two of them. One of them is one of them is definitely Sterner stuff and keeps running. The other one just kind of pulls up short. He's not sure. His friend's running. He's not sure if he wants to or not. So that'll give you another round to do something. But one of them keeps running.
Okay. Should I shoot now or shoot later?
You have to wait till your next turn.
Awesome. You
can't make another roll yet.
Okay.
So let's see. That was Sharon. We're back up to Anise is unconscious.
Me.
Yeah.
It's me.
I tried to unshake.
It is you. Okay. Go ahead and roll.
I'm just out until
you unshake. Yep. But you are still cannot act. Okay. Chris, you are dragging Anise out of the maze.
Yes.
I take it you're going slow this time so as to not wound her.
Yes.
Okay. So this is going to be your action then. Which brings us back up to Sharon. Yeah, it's your turn before they get there. So one's running and one isn't decided. You can tell, you know, he's a little twitchy. Can't decide if he's going to stay or run. So, but you act before them.
Okay, the one that's running, I'm going to shoot at him.
Oh, okay. Go for it.
Okay.
All right, so he's going to have a distance on you. This is, as you said, just a hold-out gun, so it's not got a great distance. So it's a shooting test at minus two range.
Minus two?
Just because it's a it's not meant to fire long distances. This is something you're supposed
to. Oh, yeah, no.
That's bad.
That is really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I?
No.
Can I?
Yeah. No. They roll double ones. Critical failures. You cannot shoot a Betty, and I also believe that you have Grim Servant of Death.
Does she?
Yes, I do.
Ow. Yeah, she does.
Ow.
Yeah, the thing just blew up in my face.
Maybe.
No. Grim Servant of Death means one of your friends gets shot.
Yes.
It's a poor shot, and unfortunately, Chris, you're the only one she could possibly hit.
She could, oh, she could,
no, she could hit Jack.
She could still hit me.
She could
still hit
me. Technically, being on Harry's turn, we could even hit a niece, but that's unlikely.
Yeah, just me and Jack. I mean, we're the two people.
All right, I'm going to give Jack even, and I'm going to give...
Really unlucky you shoot Draken.
No, I don't want to shoot Draken.
Okay, no, yes. Mr. Figgs gets shot in the back.
Nice!
And you're pulling out Anise, you know, so you're going back first out of the maze. And yeah,
you
so what happens?
Shooting at us!
Franny, you just trip as you're getting that shot off. So your arm drops and you shoot and you bang poor Mr. Figgs in the back. Roll damage for your gun.
I'm sorry.
No, you don't get this. I told you that this was a horrible idea to take Grim Servant in Death. And you chose it anyway.
You gotta hold that weapon, so I think your damage is only a D6, I believe.
Yeah, I believe it's 1D6.
Yep. You roll a D6.
Wow,
it explodes, rolls another D6.
Ow. So, Chris, what was your new character design?
Oh my god!
Roll another D6?
Nope. This is why Grim Servant of Death is like the...
15 points of damage. He pales.
No, it's 16. Because she has Grim Servant of Death.
Oh my gosh.
She pegs you in the spine.
What's your toughness?
Toughness is only 5.
Oh my goodness. Okay,
5, so, 9, 13... 17.
I'm a top killer. I'm a top killer.
Only two wounds.
Done in 2 wounds. All right, so you probably want to soak this.
Yeah.
That would be a good idea.
You're not down at 2 wounds.
Are you on any wounds at the moment?
Yeah, you should have like a wound.
I was shaking.
No, you were still healing, weren't you?
Yeah.
No, we're trying to kill you.
He fully recovered.
Okay,
you're good.
Good.
So, do you want to make a toughness roll and try and, you have to spin a Benny, make a toughness roll to try and avoid the wounds, or you can just take the 2 wounds?
If I take the 2 wounds, can I still at least move?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
You just have a -2 wound modifier to everything you do.
Chris, you really want to spin the Benny.
Yeah,
remember
I'll
how long
the
it takes.
You really do. I'll figure out a way to make it up to you, but you really want to make the baby.
Oh no, you will kill the entire party by the end of this game.
Friendly fire!
Yep.
Alright, so you're going to roll your vigor if you want to. If you want to.
You want to.
I will spend the Benny, and I'll roll vigor.
Roll the vigor.
Woo! Right. Oh, hi.
Love so it. You soak it.
Actually, no, he doesn't soak all of it.
No, just one wound. No, no, no. One wound. Success is no, one wound, then plus one for that. No, he only does.
So
two wounds.
He soaks two.
He does. Yep, you're right.
And he's not soaking.
So, it doesn't actually go through your spine. Instead, what happens? How does this happen, Mr. Figgs? It shakes you, but it doesn't.
No, it doesn't, because he completely clears the wound. You don't get shaken if you do a vigor roll.
Yep, it's true.
Oh, yeah.
It actually goes through the fleshy parts or something.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. It doesn't do anything. It's just a near miss.
It goes right by my ear.
You hold up a niece in the way.
And unfortunately, that is going to give, kids, the kids run off.
Oh, yeah.
Really? I'm shocked.
Well, that was a freaking disaster. That was, the worst. I think that was one of the worst series of events that we've ever had happen. Congratulations.
Jameis, I'm going to give you a chip for deciding to play it out and let her become unconscious.
Yeah.
You're down to no money now, unless you have some scrolled somewhere away and your lockpicks.
Yes, sir. You owe me $130.
Yeah, and
can I uncross my toes now?
Can Chris get a chip for being a big damn hero?
I think. Yeah, yes, yeah, please. He dove in. Sure, yes. I'll give you a chip.
Not even hesitating, but going in there after the woman.
He can have one of my chips for that. Okay.
Oh, no. He gets a chip on his own. He's acting out one of his character, maybe flaws. Yes,
yeah. Well, clearly it's a flaw so far.
When we finally get Denise out, I want to turn to Jack and say, "Burn it."
Oh no! It's too green.
Away.
It's too green to burn.
Okay, so that was the notice roll for the officer on beat duty. He did hear the discharge, the two shots ringing out. He is on the scene, runs into the park, which he knows that you guys are heading this way. He's got his guns drawn. Officer Figgs, you are actually pulling an unconscious lady who he did not see in the house out of the hedge maze. And so he comes over and he stands over you, gun drawn, protecting you, saying, officer, what's going on here? I heard gunshots. Okay, so he didn't look up, and you're in a tree, Franny. So give me a stealth roll if you want to try and hide yourself and that gun. If you want to, you're welcome to step out and make yourself known up there, but you have a smoking, obviously recently fired gun in your hand.
Yes.
Does anyone but me have the stealth skill?
Yes, I have the stealth skill. Okay. I'm just not very good at it.
Sharon, are you with us?
No! Yeah, well,
do you want to spend a Benny on that, or do you want to take it?
Oh, I'm going to spend a Benny, and can I spend a Benny on a plus two?
No.
Bennies can only be used on rerolls in this.
Yep, like, this is like the...
That is about the best that I can possibly get.
No, you can still... You still have a better than average chance to succeed.
No, I don't.
You never take the lower, by the way. So, like, if you roll with a Benny something lower than you already rolled, you always take the highest of what you rolled. I mean, still not a success, but he still may not notice you. Your choice, Benny or no Benny.
My big thing is, I don't care if he notices me. I don't want him to notice the gun.
Okay, I tell you what. Here's what we're going to do then. If you just want to cachet the gun up here. Okay, it's a small gun, easily concealable. I will give you a plus two to the roll, which means that stealth test will work. So you hide the gun.
That's pretty much all I want to do right now is hide the gun.
Which means that he's going to be aware that you're up there. What's the scene? What are you guys doing? He's standing over you protectively, Officer Figgs. He notices that you have a woman he has not seen before, wounded because she's bleeding and unconscious. The kids are gone.
If he looks up at me, I'm just going to tell him, hiding.
Yeah, he rolled an 8 on a D8, so actually he got more than he needed. That was with a raise for the scene. So he does notice you up there, but he knows who you are. So right now, he's not commenting on it. But he's asking, what's going on? I heard gunshots. Officer, how is she?
She's out cold. She went in there looking for some people that ran in there because she was the only one that could fit. And I just went in and got her because she was attacked while she was in there. I said, I don't know who shot the gun.
Now you're lying. Okay, so give me a persuasion roll.
There's a deception skill.
Yeah, if you have the deception skill, great. If not,
sweet
him. No, there is no deception skill. Is
unless you make it a specific tool that you create. No.
Yeah, there is no.
Yep, give me a persuasion roll. Right. I'll give you a +2 because you are an officer. Who's giving... Oh my
god! How's that?
Oh!
Wow, you exploded 3 times. Wow. Yes, exploded
3 times in your favor this time. Yeah, he completely believes it. Okay, with that many successes, you can send him on the path of the kids, and he will run after them if that's what you want him to do.
Yes, go get those kids.
Right, yeah, so he is running after them. He's got his police whistle out, and he books it in the direction the kids went.
Yeah, screw it. Bert. Just my knowledge about situations, do I think that there's a reasonable chance that we could chase these kids down, or do I think they're just gone?
They're gone. They are gone.
I would say they're gone, but I don't know.
They're small. They know the area. They know how to get in and out and hide from people.
They had a head start.
Yeah.
All
right. Well,
they're gone. This was...
But right. I will say, around this time, Anise, you are going to come back to yourself. Dragon Anise. Licking your face.
Yes.
What happened?
What
happened? We heard Dragon yell, and Vix and I went out in after you, and Vix got you out.
Aunt Sarah always said I should carry some of these for Dragon's treats, so here. And I have a handful of treats for Dragon.
I don't remember. I just went in there and then all of a sudden, bam.
Alright.
Wait a minute. I scramble up and scramble into the hedge.
Oh my gosh. Well,
what do you do?
What I'm doing, Bert, is I'm going to go for the where they stored their stash.
Nice.
I'm going to get something out of this.
Well, a bunch of stolen good. Silverware, things that are easily secreted in your clothing. So lots of silverware, small statues, money.
Ooh.
There's a bit of cash here. Let's see. I will give you a... $10, unfortunately.
Better than nothing.
And various small bills. There's silverware, watches, easily stolen, stuff that you could bring to a pawn shop and turn into
cash. Yeah, bringing the stuff out and saying they had this stuff in there and it's not there now, so.
Anything we could notice from, Miss Rose's house?
Well, there's a bunch of stuff in here. You really don't know what was. So you're going to go through the private items, like looking at the watches, seeing if there's any initials or monograms on anything.
I'm not bothering to look because I can't notice jack squat. If it's something that looks like I can easily pawn for my own gain, fine. But otherwise, I tend to bring most of it out because it's just really. It's going to be too much for me to hide, and it's going to be easy just to say, here, have this stuff, and screw the kids. I want my money back, you bastards!
What you find is a small lady's valise. It looks like it has been traveled somewhat, so it's got the travel tags on it. Mm-hmm. And it has LaGrange on it, and it has an address. It is... Yeah, it's got a Manchac address on it.
Okay. I'll take down the address and take it back.
I will note down the address as well to make sure that we have it in more than one place.
Inside the valise are a number of toiletries, like lots of makeup. There's a nice little mirror in there. This must be her stage go bag, you know, what she would bring for performances to make herself up. It's got some jewelry in there. Some of it's real, some of it's costume.
Yeah. All right. Well,
okay, question for Jameis. Does Anise take all the goodies that she could pawn off later?
Not just sort of thing that she could reasonably hide and get something from. If it's especially,
well, there's a lot of stuff that you, you could hide.
Yeah, there's also a lot of stuff here that I can't hide at all. So I'm not going to try and do that. And certainly anything that pretty much looks like, okay, this is not going to be that noticeable an item. Like anything engraved or anything like that, obviously no, because it can be traced back.
Okay. So you take some of the jewelry then, some of the rings, maybe a pocket, a gold pocket watch, something easy that you can put in your pockets.
Okay. Well, this is the sort of thing I do naturally. So it's just sort of by nature almost hiding it, but otherwise. Right.
When you decide to pawn that later on, let me know, and I'll let you know what it's worth.
Okay.
But you have an eye for these sort of things, so you pick out the things you think are the most valuable and smallest.
And least going to be traced back to me.
You won't pull anything out that's got, like, initials on it, nothing like that.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, guys. So you hear the officer's whistle going off far away, further away. It looks like he may be on the trail, but he's going further away. You're not sure what's going on, but it seems like you're left to your own devices for now. What do you do?
Well, this was a disaster.
Burn it down.
No, we can't burn. It's green. I told you, green things don't burn. All right.
There's a lot of stuff. I'm still getting stuff out here. I'd rather you undo it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Anise is going back in and pulling out these old boxes, like milk cartons worth, you know, and there's all kinds of silverware and stuff from stolen places coming out with it.
Oh, I'm glad to see these kids were
bring hard. It out, leave it there, and I'm sure it'll be gone in a little bit.
What? You're the police officer who's really trying to help the community in there. Shouldn't you be trying to at least hand this in so it gets back to the proper people if they come and ask for it?
Yeah, and
when the officer comes back.
Yeah, we need to. We're gonna need to make a report, and all the rest of it. And all right, so what's the story we're going to tell?
You do that.
We're gonna have to tell some kind of a story.
You work for a detective agency.
Who did the shooting?
That's the big question. That's what's going to be asked, is who did the shooting?
What shooting?
Where was it? There was definitely gunfire. It's going to go in his report.
That's going to be the
question put to you guys.
I can honestly say I know nothing about the shooting.
Yeah.
Okay, I will hand over my gun, and I will say I shot because I thought Officer Figgis was in trouble.
That's a lie, but yes.
No, it's not. It's not a lie. I thought Officer Figgis was in trouble, and I will hand over my gun, and I will say this is what I shot, and this is how I shot, and you can find the bullet over there somewhere, and it should be registered and everything.
Cool. All
right.
You don't really have to register firearms at this point.
Yeah, I do, but...
And you didn't actually hit anyone, so I mean,
yes.
Well,
no, but I will clear. But my telling the cops that I have a nice licensed gun and I shot because I thought that one of their fellow officers was in trouble, and I was trying to hit the bad guy. Clear their paperwork really fast.
Franny, why don't you just say you were shooting to get attention? Because you got attention. And that's...
I did get attention.
Exactly. Here you go. Problem done.
Okay, well, it was both. I was shooting because I thought...
Attention. That's what you
get. No. It was two things. I thought Officer Figgis was in trouble, and I was shooting to try to get attention to get him help.
That's it, yes. And no one can find the
books. Do you guys wait for the officer to come back?
I will. The right thing to do.
Okay. And Franny, you're going to stick around to give your report?
I will give my report, and I will turn over the gun if they request it.
Right, and the rest of you, are you hanging around or you want to be scarce?
Do I need?
They could leave. I mean,
do I need to be involved in any of this? I don't think so.
It's perfectly reasonable to say that the other fellow took the wounded girl to a hospital, you know. Could be easily written off.
Bye, Logos. Bye.
Oh, did he drop?
There he is.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, I'm very I just need to, in game, I need to take a 5-minute break and go and take care of some things.
Well, why don't we, everybody want to take five?
Oh. Five sounds great right now.
Oh, yeah, I don't mind taking a break. But in game, I need to go and merge some things. But
I will go and be in somewhere elsewhere that is here. Bye! Get a chain?
Yeah.
That's good. James, do you need to start a new recording, or do you just...
I just leave it running.
Okay, very good. Let's take a 5-minute.
All right.
Sounds good.
Music in this podcast was created by Kevin MacLeod. More great music can be found at his website at incompetech.com. If you enjoy the show, we would love to hear from you. You can find links to our public forums, the software that we use, and other information at our homepage at bluemagic.com. That's BLUMAGIK. Reviews on iTunes, recommends at rpgpodcasts.com, and email to steamsteelmurder@gmail.com are also appreciated. Thank you for listening.